It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Can we talk for a second about perfume commercials?
Sure, if you want.
What the hell is with perfume commercials?
I don't know. I mean, they've been that way for a long time now, and I've never understood it.
But, like, this is, and maybe it's just because I didn't see it. Maybe before. So, perfume commercials have always been weird, but they were like setting a tone or whatever. And so, there's vague, like, Cinderella themes and shit. Like, Charlize Theron is running through the hallways, and then it's like, oh, Dior, or whatever. And sometimes they get crazy or whatever, but there's like sort of a story or whatever. Now suddenly I'm seeing a lot of men's perfume commercials, and they're fucking insane. I mean, there's one where just Adam Driver races a horse on a beach and then becomes a centaur, and then there's the cologne, which, by the way, is called Burberry. You know, horses, beaches, centaurs. Burberry. There's some shit with Johnny Depp, who appeared to like take his Captain Jack Sparrow gear and just wear it, digging a grave. And then I want to say a wolf shows up or something. And then we're just like, hey, it's cologne. Like, what is, and again, today I saw, and this one, I don't know why. This one really pisses me off, I think, because it crystallized something in my head. There's one right now, and I don't know. I only know the Burberry one because it's Adam Driver. So he's like, Burberry, which like stands out. I don't remember most of the other ones. But there's one out right now that is Jared Leto and what's her name? The songstress, the Summertime Sadness, Lana Del Rey. It's Lana Del Rey and Jared Leto doing an impression of like if Bonnie and Clyde went grocery shopping, I guess. I don't really understand what they're doing, but they're just like being fun and wacky in a way. And then that's it. And then it's perfume. And I realized, I think what happens is you find somebody who is very rich and very famous and sort of by definition, very out of touch, and are like, hey, you want to make a commercial? Tell us what to do and we'll write it down and then we'll make it happen. And they're like, sure, I should be racing a horse on the beach. But then we switch to a silhouette and like, I am the horse, you know? Yeah. Like, that'll be good. What's your perfume called? Burberry. All right. Yeah, that'll fit perfect. Johnny Depp was like, I don't know. I got a body to hide. Can we, you know, dovetail this together? Like, what is happening?
I don't know. I mean, ever since they started making commercials like this, and that's a long time ago, yeah. I've thought it's a joke. I mean, right? It's yep. Maybe they don't expect everybody will get it, but the people they want to get it will get it, and it's funny.
Well,
I don't know.
I will say I like this about the perfume industry. It's ridiculous. But so far, at least, as far as I know, it is not like actively destroying people or the world, like, say, every other major ridiculous industry, the fashion industry, absolutely every type of manufacturing, all that stuff. As far as I know, I mean, there is the whole ambergris issue with whales or whatever, but by and large, I do not think the perfume industry is high on the list of industries that are like evil. And so it is kind of fun because all the other ones that are ridiculous, it is overshadowed by the fact that they are also horrifically dangerous and evil and destroying everything. So this is just watching rich people do little dances, and it's kind of fun, especially because it's ridiculous. The whole industry is ridiculous to me. I'm like, we're just like, how do you want to smell? And I mean, I'm not going to say that people don't have a thing about how they want to smell and how they want other people to smell. But what I'm saying is it does not have to be this involved. I go on my honeymoon, and in the cabin that we rented, the soap that they had was Irish Spring. And I was like, the whole time I was there, I was like, I really like the smell of this. So I come home. I now use Irish Spring. Also, somebody makes a deodorant that is Irish Spring scented, so I use that. That's it. And that's my smell. And in all honesty, I'll tell you the truth, I smell pretty good, I think. And I'm not going to say that, you know, it's not like I was like, oh, I just used essential oils or whatever. I mean, it's Irish Spring. They're like, we make this shit that smells good. Go for it. I'm not opposed to that concept. But whatever the hell is going on here, like, you want to be Johnny Depp with way too many rings on, digging a grave? Buy our cologne, which, by the way, costs more than your house per ounce. What is happening? Why is this like this? Like, it makes me feel better about our podcast.
Okay, how's that?
By comparison, this feels like much more of a worthwhile endeavor for society than Centaur Adam Driver. So weird. And specifically, like, the guy ones don't seem to have a narrative I can follow. I remember one with Julia Roberts where everybody was like tied in place by little bands of diamonds and she broke free and that was her thing. And of course it's to sell a very expensive perfume, so it's the opposite of that, but whatever. It's a story. I get it. I don't know what is happening in the men's ones, like, ever. They're so weird. I also wonder if that's a sign that you've made it when you either get to do a makeup commercial or a fragrance commercial. Because there's a lot of people that I'm like, there is no reason for them to be doing this. They do not need the money. They do not need the attention. It just must be like a status symbol. I got to be in a perfume commercial. We're not involved. Why is it on TV? Like, they could just have parties where they do, like, back and forth do perfume commercials. We don't need to be here for this. We're not buying it either. Like, I don't even. It is fine. The McElroy brothers, I still listen to my brother and me every week. And Justin has a character that he brings out once a season called Richard Stink, who is all about the various fragrances. And he tells you all the news for that season's fragrance. And just today, I listened to one because winter kicked in. And so we got to hear all about the fragrance, although this one was mostly focused on when Jessica Simpson put out a line of fragrance items back in 2004 that were supposedly edible and that gave people like rashes and shit like that and got off the market real, real fast.
Interesting.
I don't. Rich people are weird as fuck. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, only podcast in the world that is the real reason why we can't have nice things. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 566.
You did it! Good job!
I almost didn't. You went on for a long time there.
Yeah, as soon as I said it, I was like, as soon as I said, I'm Tony, I'm like, come on. I still remember the instance of you saying, let's see if I can remember. Like,
yeah.
But you did it.
I did it.
Good. Good work.
I'm proud of myself.
Because you're wearing your eye hat.
Yep. University of Iowa.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yep. Hawkeyes.
I thought it was just a thing about, like, self-realization.
Nope.
I
stands for Iowa.
I thought it was like it said for me, you know. But then you'd probably say, oh no, this is a hat for Maine. You know.
Probably.
We'll get you a hat that specifically says William Wright, born in Melcher or Dallas.
I was born in Des Moines. In Des Moines.
Wow. Look, and they were like, get him out of here.
My folks lived in Pleasantville. Remember Pleasantville? You seem to think that was pretty funny that my first home was Pleasantville.
I do, because of that movie.
And apparently that movie is connected to the Iowa town, Pleasantville. Apparently.
Is that town in black and white? If I go there, is it in black and white?
Well, it should be, shouldn't it?
That would be weird.
I think people would not be, I think they would not be surprised at all to find out the town I lived in when I was first born. And it wasn't town. I did not first live out in the country. I first live in town. That was a black and white town.
I mean, I feel like you currently reside in a body that's a black and white town. So
like, kind of, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned on here before, as a senior project in college, I did a ethnographic documentary on a particular individual that I had worked with that summer in an earlier summer when I worked at Casey's General Store over the summer in college. I had worked with him, and I thought he was a very interesting person to do this study on, so I did. And when we're going through his first stuff, he tells me he was born in Sigourney. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you know, Sigourney, like Sigourney, yeah. Sigourney. And I was like, there's a town that's spelled like Sigourney Weaver's name and pronounced Sigourney. And he's like, yeah. And sure enough, there is.
Correct. Yep. Used to drive through it all the time because it's on Highway 92, which goes through Knoxville, which is right near where I live. And so sometimes it used to be to get to Iowa City, I would hop on 92 and drive clear through to Highway 1, which took me through Wutcher and Sigourney and Kelowna and all those things.
I like Wutcher. It's confusing to me, though, because the only words I know spelled that way are the actress and the town. So that means in this instance, I don't know which one is wrong. Normally I do, because normally like Cairo or Versailles or Marseilles or Peru or Cape Girardeau, all of these I know are wrong.
Madrid.
And like Madrid, another good example. Also, I grew up in the Willamette Valley and there is an East Coast town called Willamette and they are wrong. So these things I know, but in this one I'm like, is she saying her name wrong or is the town saying their name wrong? Because I need an external reference.
I
don't have one.
I can answer that question. If it's a town in Iowa, it's always wrong.
I do love the deep drill down into what Des Moines means. Because people are like, well, there's a couple of, and I'm like, it shouldn't be hard. It's just a French word. And they're like, well, but it's sort of not. So I believe the two biggest ones are the monks and the hands, I believe, are the two most likely translations I've heard, neither of which make any sense. But I live in Iowa City, which I understand entirely. And you live in Coralville, which, again, makes no sense. There's no coral near you.
I mean, there's...
Was it founded by Joe Coral?
No, there's coral fossils.
At the mall?
Rocks.
Oh, okay.
No, in the rocks.
So, it's old Coralville.
I mean...
It used to be Coralville.
The part that doesn't make sense, there are coral fossils, but it's not like this is the only place in all of Iowa where you can find coral fossils.
Or like anyone ever talks about them. Like there's not a museum of it or some shit in Coralville.
I mean, now you've got that area out on the lake that was washed out by floods. It has a lot of fossils in it. And a lot of that has,
you know,
coral.
Out at Coral Lake. Oh, wait, no, it's called Lake McBride. Why the hell isn't it McBrideville?
I know.
Which also just sounds like you went to McDonald's and got yourself a spouse. Yes, I'll have a number two, and could you add on a McBride, please? She's dressed as a clown. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It is magical. It is not the one William is wearing. If you see it, it's not that one. All right, it's magical in that it has its own email address. How magical is that? TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. And people, write into that email address, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want, basically. The hat, all on its own, magically decides whether or not to forward them on to William and I. And when it does, we read them and talk about them till we're bored. And that's pretty much it. Except frequently we don't even bother with that. So welcome, won't you? It's been a week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, happy birthday tomorrow, in case I forget.
Thank you.
Tomorrow.
I actually had my official birthday dinner last night.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, I really want a bunch of sushi, which is frequently what I want on my birthday. And even though COVID has caused me to adjust, sushi that's been brought to you is not, it's not as good as fresh. Like, it's not the same. And I'm like, I want to go out. But in the current climate, going out on a Friday night to a restaurant, kind of dumb. So I was like, because normally we order out, we order in Wednesday for date night and Friday, just because it's Friday. And so I was like, we could switch it up for date night. We could go out. And so that's what we did last night, because not nearly as many people on a Wednesday, especially, we went pretty early. And I ate so much sushi. I ate, by my calculation, about $85 worth of sushi myself.
Wow.
Well, okay. And some of that was taken up by a squid salad that I had first. But otherwise, all sushi. Because, yeah, my wife got 3 sushi rolls and some edamame, and that was it. So it was really easy to look at the total of the bill and take off what she had. So 80, $85 worth of sushi. And when it came, Trish is like, that's too much sushi. I'm like, no, it's going to be fine. And it came out, and I'm like, yeah, this is not even close. And then I found out, oh, no, there was another plate coming. They hadn't finished making that one yet. But I ate it all. So good.
So you're, tomorrow you're turning 45. Is that right?
Tomorrow I am turning 45. Relatively early in the morning.
Okay. Do you make a big deal out of ages that end with a 5, or just the ones that end with a 0? Or
I don't even do that. I don't even do that. The last age that affected me with any significance was 35.
Hmm.
35 is, I've talked about this, it is the end of a demographic. 18 to 34, 35 to, I think, 60. And more specifically, it is the point at which companies cease to care about my interests and my consumption and begin to care about what they assume is my children's consumption and interests and desires. And so that was disheartening.
Did we talk about this back in 2012, near the end of our first year, when your
possibly birthday first came around? We have definitely talked about this before. I don't know if it was then. We don't schedule things very well. We might have talked about this when I was 37 and 3/4.
That's true. We could have talked about it later.
Yes. But yeah, 45, not doing it. I feel like 50 might do something, but I don't know. We'll see. The truth is, like I said, 35 was weird. But nowadays, I'm leaning it, other than the grim specter of death and the awareness that, you know, my years are finite, and the older I get, regardless, the lower the number of years I'm going to have left. Other than that crushing weight of the knowledge of mortality, I really dig turning into an old person.
Yeah, me too.
I'm leaning into it hard.
50 was surprised me, I guess, in its impact, because I didn't think that certain things would be an issue, mostly because I was only thinking of how I would feel about it. And I don't think 50 was had much of an impact on me in terms of myself. I mean, even with the heart surgery and everything.
But your wife realized she was married to a 50-year-old and went into a depression spiral. I get it.
No, I think it occurred to me how old everybody else also was, right? Like,
oh my God, you're all roughly my age. What the hell?
Yeah. Like, I think what happened was maybe every time I turned, like when I turned 30, 40, I would think of what the decade was going to be like, right? And I don't think my 50s are going to be that much different than my 40s were, but there are probably things that are going to happen before I turn 60. I mean, I don't like to think about some of the things that might happen before I turn 60 to other people. Yeah. Oh. No. Other people. Well, things are going to happen other people are going to get ill, fall ill. Other people might pass away. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, And just so suddenly thinking about the decade ahead of me, which usually didn't mean much of anything because it wasn't going to be that much different than the decade before. Well, now it is going to be different, not so much because of me, but because of every other people I know and the things that they're going through. And it's like, maybe
by the time you're 60, it'll all be normal. You'll be like, yep, must be Tuesday. Who's dying now? I will say,
I don't know, maybe
the oldest I ever felt was when my brother turned 50.
Mm.
Something about, I'm like, I'm not old enough to have a big brother who's 50. Like, that just really like messed with my head.
Yeah.
I've been told mostly by my sister that 50 is also the point where a lot of shit starts falling off on you. Like, in particular, we're all diabetic, and 50 is the point at which she's like, my numbers were good and everything was normal and I changed absolutely nothing, but I turned 50 and suddenly my numbers shot up. And just physiology starts to change in some major ways at 50, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, of course, I've had a major surgery I didn't expect to have, and that's affected some things in ways I'm going to have to change my lifestyle a little bit to deal with.
No, not because you're 50, though. That's just because you weren't raised in Sparta, where they would have thrown your ass off the cliff when you were a baby.
That's true. But I think probably the pandemic, you know, coming just the year after I turned 50, probably had an impact on that too. You know,
did you cause COVID by turning old?
Maybe.
Oh, that explains so much.
It's hard to say, but yeah, I there were some things about 50.
Get some pithy phrases in this episode, because right now the current title is William caused COVID, and you don't want that to be out on the internet.
Yeah, I don't think that would float to the top of the search list of anything with COVID in it.
It would if I put in some period, so it was Will I Am caused COVID.
Oh, maybe. So you've already kind of had your big birthday thing. What else has been going on this week?
Well, I don't know everything that is happening. I have been told by my wife, don't go buy birthday cake.
Okay.
And also, I have to be available between 11 and 2 on my birthday. I have since learned that this apparently involves some sort of delivery that will happen during that window.
Oh.
So I feel a little better, because I don't really do anything for my birthday anymore, and haven't for a while. I have, to my surprise, fallen into the camp of those people who are like, you know what, you should get birthdays every year till you're like 12, and then 18, 21, 25, and then after that it's just every decade, because like it doesn't fucking matter. I've kind of ended up in there where I'm like, whatever. I'll frequently use it as an excuse to go out to eat, but I come up with lots of excuses to go out to eat. And so something about, like, Trish is really focused on wanting me to be happy on my birthday, and I have not been happy lately. And that combined with, like, there's something secret happening was a little bit stressful. And I did confess that last night. And she's like, just so you know, we're not going any place. No one else is involved. So it's not that. I'm like, okay. Okay. So, but yeah, something's happening tomorrow, but I am excited. So this week, I think I've talked about this before. I was building a chore rota. That might not be the right term since it's just me, but I sat down and made a list of all the things I got to do regularly in the house, the housework and stuff. And then, and Trish and I built the list together. And then I separated it all into things that need to, I'm not bothering with things that I basically do every day because I remember to do those just fine because I do them every day. But bringing it down to things that need to happen once a week, things that need to happen every 2 weeks, and things that need to happen every 4 weeks. And based on that, I created four theoretically equal weekly chore lists.
Okay.
And this was the first week I was doing one.
Oh, okay.
And I'm really enjoying, at first I was very intimidated. Even Trish was like, this is a lot of stuff, but I'm learning now. I don't think it's too bad because a lot of it was stuff I was already doing. There's just, it's more the bigger things, like things that should happen about once a month were happening like every 3 months because one of us would finally be like, wow, that thing is gross. You should clean it. So this is better for that. And as luck would have it, as of right now, I have done everything on my list for the week. So essentially tomorrow, I can just fuck off. I get the day off. And it's Friday, so I'm not cooking supper anyway. So I pretty much get tomorrow off. I like that.
That's cool.
So I think I'm gonna try and lean into, it's my birthday. I'm gonna relax and not do shit, which is the most celebrating I've done in several years.
Good.
So that'll be nice. So what else has happened this week besides you realizing my birthday was this week?
Well, saw that movie. What is it? Element?
Eternals.
Eternals.
A lot of people have trouble with that title. I don't really. I mean, I guess, yeah. But yeah.
Jazz liked it. Did you see that on the
I did. How did you feel?
No, I didn't like it.
Well, let's start with the lowest common denominator here. Do you agree, as I and Pitch Meeting Guy and most of the planet, that it would have been infinitely better as a series on Disney Plus?
More than that, I might have liked it if it had been a series. Although I'm not sure. The problems I had with it, I think I have a problem with this group. I don't think I would like this whole, I don't think I'd like the comics. I don't think I would really like.
You are not alone in that. It is conceptually very, it was invented in the 60s and it doesn't make a lot of sense now. And on top of that, they messed it up. The movie messed things up more. Like the movies made it make less sense than the comics, and the comics don't make a lot of sense.
I suspect that if Jazz shares what things she likes about it, I'll mostly agree with everything she says in terms of, oh yeah, that's cool, whatever.
Yeah.
Cause that's usually the case. Jazz and I usually appreciate the same things. Although sometimes she can overall like something that I overall don't like, even if I agree with a lot of the things that she liked with it. And she might even agree with some of the things I didn't like, but for some reason, the tipping point for each of us is a little different, you know? So it's like, yeah, I still like it. And I'm like, oh, well, I didn't really.
It is interesting, especially with Eternals. What I have not encountered is anybody disagreeing with each other on specific points. Everybody I talked to seemed to agree, like, these are the good things about it. and these are the bad things about it. It's just how much weight that carries.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of other movies are like, really? You didn't like that? Because I love that. Like, everybody I talked to were all like, yeah, they kind of fucked these bits up, and these bits were actually pretty cool. The one exception I will find is I had friends who said the special effects and the CGI didn't seem to live up to most MCU stuff, and I strongly disagree. I thought it was gorgeous. I really liked what they did with the effects, but otherwise, yeah, everybody seems to agree. It's just a matter of how much they care about that particular aspect.
As far as the performances go, they were fine. I think I agree with you that Angelina Jolie did a perfectly respectable job there.
I just think it was also such a great place to cast her. I think I honestly think she did well enough. I think a lot of other good actors would not have done as well. And I think that was the right place to put her. She was prominent, but she wasn't the focus. She didn't have to play a leading lady. And that, I think that helped a lot.
I thought Salma Hayek's part was good. She played it well.
Absolutely.
I thought Kumail did a good job. I mean, I can't think of a single person who I could fault for their performance. It wasn't my thing, I guess. I don't know.
The issues are largely story beat based and concept based. The Eternals are a problem, but the bigger thing is the Celestials are a problem. And especially at their best, the Celestials are freaking Lovecraftian. They are unknowable. And in this movie, they are extremely knowable. They even talk to you in English, which is not a thing that should happen.
Well, one thing I'm conceptually, and the reason I would have a problem with it conceptually, I think no matter what, it's the same problem I have with the whole ancient aliens thing, is it always seems to be premised on the idea that we just can't imagine ancient human beings being able to do certain things. Like they're just too stupid or something. I don't know. And I just can't. I find that anywhere between mildly annoying to incredibly insulting. That look at the pyramids. The humans back then couldn't have possibly done this. Only aliens can have done this, and that's the only explanation we have. You know, that kind of stuff. It's like, come on.
Now, this is interesting, because while I absolutely 100% believe there was no extraterrestrial or supernatural influence in humanity's evolution, I'm totally down for that as narrative device. I've always been cool with that.
It's always pretty much always
this one just was incredibly muddy as to why and how, and it was even muddier than, like I said, the source material, which is also kind of muddy. And just weird shit again, 60s shit. The thing that's come up a few times is, well, okay, shit, never mind. I guess there are technically spoilers for the Eternals, so I can't talk about that. But there's some real basic stuff that, like, if you were going to design a group like the Eternals and you were something like a Celestial, you'd actually do it way different than the way you did it. Like, the way you did it makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's a fun one. Here's a fun one for you. I want you to think about this, because I find this an actual interesting thought experiment. So, one of the things about the Eternals film, and it is not a spoiler to say the Eternals are from way out in space and showed up on Earth thousands of years ago. I guess that spoils the first 30 seconds of the movie, but whatever. Because that's what they tell you. But everybody shows up here. It's a very diverse cast, which is great. And, you know, colorblind casting, whatever. Everybody has their accent, the accent that the actor has. And they are all fairly specific accents. And some people were bothered by this, why would a 7,000-year-old alien have an Irish brogue? That kind of thing. Why would these people that came here together have such different accents? And I was, while watching it, bothered by this a little bit, but then I was like, what is the alternative? The alternative is you pick one accent and give it to all of them, and then you are making a major statement, and sort of whichever one you pick, it becomes very problematic. But it's weird to think about, because it's not something that comes up in comics, because they wrote it down. What do you think?
I think it's problematic regardless, and to make the cast, I think it addresses a meta concern to make the cast diverse and have different accents or whatever, but it doesn't solve the narrative problem.
No. And maybe that's it. And it would solve the narrative problem if we picked an accent for them. And ideally it would be a weird alien accent that doesn't exist here. But from a meta perspective, I think that would probably be a worse decision.
Agreed. And of course I'm not against, you know me, I'm totally for representation or whatever.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Do it. I don't even care if it's all meta and it doesn't make sense in the narrative. Don't care. But I do think there were problematic aspects of the narrative that, you know, weren't going to be fixed with no matter who you cast or how you directed them. Those thematic issues were going to be problems. But I mean, it's a comic book movie. So, you know, either it's something that you can kind of go with, right? Suspend your disbelief and go, oh, this concept's fun. I can go with that or not. All comic book movies are like that. I mean, we watched like the Nolan Batmans and a couple other things, and all of these things are problematic in some way. And like you were just saying earlier, you either can latch on to the parts you like and just sort of go with it and not worry about the other stuff, or the other stuff is just going to take you out of it too much and you can deal with it.
And it's also, like I said, I suspect if I watched all the MCU movies right now, Eternals would probably be one of my favorites. I know, it's got a huge amount of problems. I enjoyed it. And I don't know why. I think a lot of it had to do with the large, diverse cast. I just enjoyed watching all of them do stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And I
had people I love. I love Selma Hayek. I love Kumail. I love Brian Tyree Gibbs. I don't know. He's got three names. Some of them are first names. I get confused. The guy who played Festos. I love him.
I agree with you too that I thought the special effects were quite good. So, I mean, that's not something I had a problem with.
Yeah, I thought it was a cool look. But it was weird because their take on Deviants was very different from the source material. But, you know, Deviants, the whole setup, very different.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that makes me wonder if I'd actually like...
Oh, no, because it won't change the aspect of aliens coming and changing humanity's evolution. That still happens.
Yeah, I just can't get into that.
How it happens and why it happens is different.
But I mean, even the aspect... Well, I can't even talk about that. That's a spoiler, so never mind.
Right?
Yeah, there are a lot of things I probably have already said.
A lot of sneaky stuff in here.
Yeah, so...
A lot of it's not very spoiler. I won't spoil it, but I think I can do this fine without spoiling it. At the heart of this movie is arguably a very tricky ethical question. And the movie presents it as very strongly having just one obvious right answer that I'm not sure I agree with. But the movie treats it as like, that is, I mean, there are people who argue on the other side, but those people are very much shown as wrong. And I'm like, okay. And I do love this idea. This has happened in sci-fi forever. Sci-fi loves to do things where humans are special. compared to other alien species. And the problem often is they either say humans are special because of some real basic nebulous bullshit that I'm like, how would other people not have that? Or they don't even go that far, which is what, in my opinion, happens in this movie. They're like, humans are special. I'm like, oh, really? How? Well, humans love and fight and grow up and have children. I'm like, yeah, like, you know, animals. So, like, this movie real worked hard on, like, humans are special and unique in the universe. How so? Don't ask. Just trust me. Sometimes sci-fi is really good, and they make all their other alien species, like, have a noticeable gap that humanity has. And then you can say, like, humans are special that way. But too often, they come up with, like, humans are special because they're the only species that's curious or some shit like that. No, that's not how anything works.
Well, and in another problem with ancient alien stories in general, and this has the same problem, so it doesn't seem like it's going to be a spoiler for me to say this. Humans, okay, so we all know the phenomenon of a hero's journey with a male protagonist, and the female, or all the females really in the story, become objects in the male protagonist's journey that yes. propel his journey forward.
Yeah.
In ancient alien narratives, and this is no different, all of humanity becomes an object that propels the hero's journey forward. The whole of humanity becomes objectified.
Oh yeah.
And all human cultures too, because now all culture comes from this one source. And so basically, I don't know if I should say the things I'm about to say because they might be spoilery, but you end up co-opting
listeners.
You end up co-opting all of human culture basically by this narrative, and I mean, you know, so for most people it's like, oh, okay, who cares? Or they're okay with it because it's fiction or whatever. But for me personally, it's like annoying. I get annoyed by that.
You appear to have a sense of human pride. Pride in humanity, which is not something I don't think is... Actually, I would say it is fairly common. I don't relate to it.
Well,
fuck
I just...
guys. By which I mean us guys.
I just mean...
Also, in the MCU, all of humanity now is post-blip humanity, and they all suck. Ever since the blip, humanity has sucked. Fuck them.
Yeah, it's just not. I mean, suddenly every culture, instead of being this fascinating, rich thing that emerged in history at a specific time and adapted to the conditions of its time in a fantastic, unique, interesting way, now it's just the product of some aliens that visited and made it happen like that, and humans don't really have anything to do with it. And I mean, that makes it less interesting. That makes human history less interesting, less compelling.
William, I call it a plow because that's what it does.
That was stupid, right? Come on.
Well, it was a very awkward way to try and get a concept across, but there were a lot of those.
Yeah.
Again, so... it hits the base concept. Doesn't so much make sense.
In the way, it's the ultimate Disney property, because in one fell swoop, it co-opts every story that's ever been told. Now, every story that's ever been told originates with these aliens that came and told these stories. So now yes. And Disney owns that. So now Disney owns all these stories.
Had it been a series, though, I think that could have been addressed. And actually, I would say we took a real, real lazy stab at it right around 1500 AD. But like, we really spent almost no time on it and ignored repercussions that my mind is still trying to grasp. But we did kind of look at it, but not really. But yeah, no.
Yeah, and the rules were not consistent about what they could do and not do and all this other stuff. So,
but
yeah,
one of our characters has a sidekick named Karun, I believe.
Oh, yeah. And
I fucking love him.
I do too. He's my favorite.
And what I want to do is introduce him to Korg, give them a spaceship, and have them travel around the universe solving low-level crimes. Like,
that's a pretty good idea.
I would watch a million seasons of that show. Right.
That's a pretty good idea.
He was the Korg of this movie, in my opinion, and I really liked him for that.
I remember when the film was over, I told myself, I need to remember to tell Tony that was my favorite character of the whole thing.
I was like, we are all Karun. And it wasn't at first. Like, when you introduce him, he's an archetype that I'm like, I don't give a shit about. But that character has such heart, for lack of a better term. Like, that was what I loved. I'm like, this is probably the person with the most reason to be pissed off in this whole movie. And he's always pleased and grateful about everything all the time. I love him. I want to be him.
He pretty much ends up representing all of humanity.
That's what he's supposed to do. Yeah.
And he does a good job doing it. You're like, okay, yeah, I like that guy representing all of humanity. That works for me.
yeah.
You just can't help but love the guy.
Just there was just too much stuff. We did a lot of telling, not showing. We had a major plot line. I'm gonna say in the top two plot lines in the film that just stopped. It didn't resolve. The plot line just stopped. And we went on. And it was like the second most important plot line in the movie. And at certain points in the movie, seemed like it was the most important part of the movie. But then it stopped. Not resolved, just stopped. That was, I believe the words out of my mouth at this time was, oh, I didn't know Joss Whedon also helped direct this one. Because it was such a Whedon move. But that, like I said, it's probably in my top handful of MCU movies, honestly. In terms of if I had to rewatch them now, there are a lot of movies that I absolutely loved at the time, but if I watched them now, I'd be like, So I have to say a rewatch, because that's the other thing, is it's incredibly MCU. And I might just be getting tired of that. Because you know all the beats, and it's, there have been so many films that not only can I predict all the beats, but I can be like, oh, this scene is essentially exactly the same as this scene from this other movie. So in other words, I've already seen this scene.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm here for this. And that is getting more and more as the movies keep coming. I had a bunch of those in Shang-Chi. I had some of those in Black Widow. Although Black Widow was largely just not a very good movie.
So what was the deal with the DC references in it?
I don't know. I thought that was funny. They had specific DC references, and I was that feels like shade somehow. And it wasn't. They were brought up in positive lights. But I'm like,
yeah, they were.
That feels cheeky somehow. That feels like shade. It was just odd. They just, apparently within the MCU, DC superhero comics exist.
Yeah.
Because they made a reference to Superman and a reference to Batman as general cultural touchstones.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't recall them ever doing that in an MCU movie before.
I don't either.
Very clever and amusing, but surprising at the same time. They're also, okay. I guess this is some mild spoilers, so I'm going to say that up front, because technically it is. What I was told long before I saw this movie is that there was an aspect of it that caused some people to get upset about a problematic, politically problematic aspect of this film. And it has to do with the character of Fastos, who, among other things, is black and gay, being painted as having been responsible for the bombing of Hiroshima. And what I can say is I cannot remember if people were upset about this because the one black dude we finally get is responsible for a nuclear bombing, or the one gay dude we finally get is responsible for a nuclear bombing, or just there are still fucking people alive today who remember Hiroshima, maybe don't stick it in your superhero movie. All three of these are valid complaints. But I will say it's like a 30-second scene. And also, it is arguable that he is not shown as responsible, but as feeling responsible. But I just want to throw that out there because apparently for a hot second, the internet was pissed off about that. And I don't remember which of those three reasons, because they all seem pretty equally valid. But so be prepared for that. And it is a dumb scene. I will admit it's a dumb scene. All right, we have talked way too much about this. What else is happening? Are you still in school? Are you on break? Are you caught up? Did you turn in your homework today? Do you not remember if you turned in your homework today?
I did turn it in, but I mean, there's
written up.
You can't just turn in stuff. You've got to respond to what other people turned in. And that bit, I'm still.
Is that bit due today?
No.
Well, then you're fine.
But next week is like, there's way too much work to do next week. So I need to get started on it this week or else I won't get it done. All right. So the sooner I can get all of this week's stuff out of the way, the better chance next week will go smoothly for me. And I'm still not done with this week's stuff. So in other words, I'm doing fine. I'm like on schedule, but I need to be a little bit ahead of schedule probably. But of course I always think that, so that doesn't really mean anything.
Such a nerd.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Guardians of the Galaxy 2 came out? And Ego referred to himself as a Celestial.
Oh, did he?
He did. And I was in the movie theater and I said out loud, "No, you're not." It wasn't on purpose. It just slipped out. Well, now we actually brought in the Celestials, but he's still considered like. What? We brought in Celestials this time. They are nothing like him. But it's still canon that he is, or at least he claimed to. I guess it's sort of moot because I think he's dead now, but that was a disaster. Ego was never a Celestial. It's some bullshit.
Was he an Eternal, though?
No, he wasn't Eternal either. I mean, there are a variety of comic origins. All of them, he's basically a science experiment that goes rogue.
Oh. No.
He was just a living planet that went and did its own shit.
Hmm.
But there are some interesting implications about other aspects of the MCU based on the post-credit sequence, because in actuality, Thanos is an Eternal. He's not an Eternal from Earth, but he's an Eternal. And the MCU seems to be implying that that's what they're going with. Again, doesn't matter because I think he's dead now, but technically speaking, he is an Eternal from Titan, which is a different kind of Eternal. And one of the post-credit sequences seems to talk about that. I will say, in the pitch meeting, they say the post-credit sequences get kind of weird. He's like, "Oh, what happens in the post-credit sequence?" And he says, "A drunken troll comes out of a space portal and introduces a member of One Direction."
Sure, that might as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. And it did. And I don't know why, but Trish was like, "Is he supposed to look like Bowie?" And I said, "I mean, I don't think he looks like David Bowie, but maybe." And then I looked up who it was and I'm like, "I'm confident he's not supposed to look like David Bowie. He's supposed to look like himself because that's Harry goddamn Styles."
Yeah.
Which I'm pleased to say I didn't recognize, because I only ever recognize Harry Styles when he has his fucking hair. And in this appearance, he doesn't have his fucking hair. Also, I'm fairly certain, as we have established, when it comes to MCU post-credit sequences, maybe half of them actually manifest as something later. And I'm pretty sure that one is not. Especially because I know the other one is. There is already a film in development based on the other one. So okay. I suspect the drunken space troll from the space portal with Harry Styles is not going to ever be a thing. But who knows? All right, we are so low on time. Let's do a question. Who read it last time?
I don't know.
All right, I'll read it then. Boop, 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 boop. All right. This is from Azure Talon, as they so often are these days. The rest of you should send some shit in, because, I mean, we are I think we are doing a great deal towards helping Azure Talon achieve self-realization and self-actualization. And you should get in on that. Why should he have all of that? All right. The subject says, boring apocalypse. I just turned 39, so maybe I don't have a huge reservoir of experience, but I'm getting there. All right. I know we've had scary and unprecedented times, but this all feels different. Are we ever going to get back to normal as a people? Is this just it? Disease and partisan cold civil war forever? Yes. Good night. I'm hesitant to ask what you think, because I cannot envision you answering this question in less than 35 minutes. I don't even know what you're going to say, but I just, it has a meat to it that I'm like, you could chew on this for a long time. Sorry, did that metaphor confuse you? Oh my God. To really not address this weighty issue here, I do got to tell you. So, okay. KFC, you should be in on this. KFC has introduced Beyond Fried Chicken.
Mm. Yeah,
plant-based fried chicken. Yep. And I went there and I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes. Sorry. I saw the sign for the thing, and I was getting chicken, but I was like, I want to try this. And you know, like, you can usually order like a piece of chicken. So I was like, can I order a piece of the Beyond Chicken? And they were like, no, it only comes in 6 and 12. And I was like, okay, then I will get 0 because I'm just having chicken. But word must have got through, because by the time I got to the cashier, he was like, my boss wants to know if you want to sample the chicken. And I was like, what? And he's like, the Beyond Chicken. I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. So he gave me a piece. Not very big. Nah, it's a little bigger than nugget size, I will say. Damn, if it don't taste pretty good. Enough that later I went back to KFC and I actually got that combo. But my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, vegetarian, one of those that is genuinely an ethical vegetarian, and not for environmental reasons, but just like animal mistreatment reasons. And it has come up before that he feels very strongly about this. However, were he on death row, his last meal, fried chicken. Because he loves fried chicken. And one of the things he hates most about being vegetarian is he can't get fried chicken. So I'm immediately texting my sister on this. And she tells him, apparently he cried a little. So they went to KFC that night and bought some of that and some regular chicken, because my sister and their daughter eat meat or whatever, and all the sides and everything. And they had a big old KFC feast for their family, which they realized had literally never happened for their family before. So I felt really good about that. Also, the Beyond Fried Chicken is pretty tasty. I would recommend it. You, I know it's all about, you know, which color food dye and if it'll give you hives or whatever. Like, your diet is, I'm going to say, complicated to the point where I'm not sure we all allow you to still live. But so it might not work for you, but it is vegetarian. And I think if memory serves, you've eaten other Beyond products. So you better check it out. It's good.
Yes, I have eaten other Beyond products. I would try it. Yeah, maybe, maybe I'll try it.
As with so many of these things, including the Impossible Whopper, it is not cheap. It is more expensive than just buying chicken, but
yeah,
I liked it. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. What are your feelings on this Azure Talent thing? I have some feelings as well, but you look confused. Like, you have an opinion on this email? What the crap?
I mean, I do think it's a little, I think it's different than before, and not just in like normal ways that things are always different, right? It's like a different set of people, a different set, like it's, there are things that are different. It's not exactly as it's been in the past. And I won't get into what I think those are, because I think we've probably done that before. I think the real thing he's interested in knowing is it just going to be like this? Is this the new normal? Is it ever going to get better? I don't think.
You heard it here. William does not think it's going to get better. Good night, everyone.
I don't know really what normal means to Azure Talent when he's talking, like what he wants it to get back to. Like, would you want to get back to 1999? And you want to get back to 2010? I mean, where is it you want it to go where it will feel normal to you? For me, there's really just one thing that I'd like for it to get to what it was at least like before 2016. I think everything else is pretty much the same, actually. Even a lot of people think it's not, but my observation is most of it's the same. I would like the news to become a little bit more like at least before 2016, maybe even before 2000. I would, before Fox News, before there was ever Fox News, I would like. How about like,
before there were 24-hour news channels, full stop? Let's just do
maybe,
that.
Maybe. Because here's the thing about news. The first
What's
time.
The deal with the news?
The first time there was what news as we know it. Not just people talking to each other and telling each other what's going on, but someone's making the news, right? They're printing it or whatever. That would have been in the 15th century with the printing press, and it was terrible. I mean, it was basically like today. Everyone was just making stuff up or exaggerating things. Yellow journalism was the only kind of journalism. It was redundant to call it yellow journalism. That's all there was. Really, you didn't get journalism the way a lot of us think of journalism as having ethics and standards and being the truth and not having a bunch of biases or whatever. That didn't happen until late in the 19th century. And you didn't even have your first journalism school until the early 20th century, I think. So the fact of the matter is, in the whole history of journalism, what I would consider good journalism, journalism that I like to see, has only existed for a tiny window of time, mostly, not even for the whole 20th century, really, just a good portion of it.
You know that movie, The Year of Living Dangerously? That's the year. That's the year that William thinks there was good journalism, mostly because of Linda Hunt.
But it would be nice if journalism would start being like that again. I think everything else is mostly the same. It's just, we're convinced it's worse or whatever because the media tells us all these things and we either are believing it, which we shouldn't do, or even if we don't believe it, it's still impacting our perceptions on things and making us stressed out and concerned that the country is on the verge of falling apart when it's not really as close to falling apart as people think it is. So I would just like the news to start, you know, being like, well, I remember when I was growing up, it seemed like they cared about facts. Opinion and commentary was something that there existed, but it was off into the corner somewhere and it was all isolated by itself. So you knew this is opinion. We're telling you what actually happened. And people could agree for the most part on the facts of things. They didn't agree on everything, by no means. I mean, a lot of people seem to think that there was some kumbaya time. Not in my lifetime, there's never been that in politics or national conversation. But at least there were more things that people, everyone seemed to agree were the facts of the, you know, what really happened, factually happened. I would like the news to get better, but is that going to happen? I don't know. And if it doesn't,
I was going to say, why would it happen? What would possibly cause that to happen?
What would cause it to happen? Because there are some people who are saying, and I don't know what's true, obviously, because everyone's making claims. Well, this is what's happening. No, this is what's happening. And you can't find out because all the sources are biased or whatever. But there are some people who are saying that it's starting to not be lucrative for news to be the way it is, which might create an incentive for it to go back to way it was.
Absolutely. If that is true, then that would happen.
But I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know if that is either.
It could be that it's still lucrative for them to be jerks. So that's just what they're going to keep doing. And so the answer to Azure Talent's question is, I know this is the new normal. Get used to it. Now, here's another thing, though. There are independent, some people would argue that this isn't actually an improvement, but there are independent journalists who are coming along doing a better job. The problem there, of course, though, is that without an institutional it's harder for you to know which of the independent journalists are telling you the truth, right? I mean, it used to be the reason you trusted NBC News was because it's a large organization and it really exposes itself to some serious liability if it's screwing up. Of course, now that doesn't seem to matter. So when you're dealing with a small organization and it seems like they're being more ethical and they're being more careful and they care more about the facts, but you can't really check what they're telling you against, say, another. That's another thing. The large organizations used to check each other, right? NBC News would say it. Would CBS say it? Would CNN say it? A lot of these independent organizations, nobody's really watching them or checking up on them because they're just a little rinky-dink organization. So they sound reasonable. They sound like they're trying to be good journalism, but maybe they're not. So I don't know. It's complicated. I don't know what's going to happen. Things could go in a way that's positive. That's not impossible. But as you just implied, Tony, there doesn't seem to be a lot of incentives for it to do that. So I don't know. I don't know. It's going to happen. And what are your thoughts?
Well, I think this being the new normal is a broader issue than just the news. Let's take the easy one first. I do not believe the pandemic will continue essentially forever. I do believe there will be an endpoint. How long away it is and how many people die before we get there, I don't know. But I do think that happens. And I do think in that capacity, things will return more or less to normal. We have historical precedent for this in terms of the Spanish flu.
Right.
And I do think that will happen. Now, whether or not, due to environmental impact and all this, these kind of things will come quicker than every 100 years, I don't know. And we've gotten small versions of that, but I do think that will come back to normal. Again, it depends on when you're talking about normal. And I do want to say this, it will never get back to normal. And you should stop talking like that because it's always changing. Everything is always changing. And saying get back to normal is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from, in my day, kids respected their elders. And you don't want to be that kind of old person. That's the kind of old person that we all hate. Like, this is the thing. When you see old people doing dumb shit, learn from it so that when you are old, you will not do the same dumb shit. And we're all like, oh, no, because old people hated gay people and I don't hate gay people. It's not about that. There's going to be a new thing that you think you hate that all the young people are like, it's fine. Like, be aware that there are no good old days, and there never were, because everything is very much about your perspective within it. And that is the biggest thing I can say to you, is it's not waiting for the world to change. You need to change how you interface with the world. There is an added complication that we are living in the internet era, and everything that can be said is being said somewhere. And all you can control is how you interact it. As to go back sort of to what William said, we are living in an era where you have to do your own vetting.
Right, that's right.
You can no longer trust any source of information by virtue of its X, because everything is so tricky and complicated. And honestly, you know, we all have to learn our lessons. Those email forwards about terrible viruses were a lie. A lot of these headlines are clickbaity. Here's another fun one. Forget, is this news item true or not? Let's go with, regardless of whether or not it's true, is it going to impact my life or my decision-making at all in the world? And if the answer is no, either enjoy it for purely entertainment purposes or fucking skip it.
Yeah, right.
And that's one that I've been trying. That's a truth I've been trying to live for a while. So it's going to be a lot more in your control. In terms of the political enmity, I don't think it's going to stick around forever. I don't know. I think that is part of the internet culture. And what we may end up with is sort of a world of small communities, but they are not geographic. They are online. And so we all live in our own little bubbles. And that just may be how it is. But mostly you have the control over how much you interface with that. I will also say there is one other wrinkle in that we might kill ourselves off along with the entire planet. And I can't tell you how soon that's going to happen. I am being an absolute chicken shit. And I'm just like, please not in my lifetime. Please let this be like my niece's and nephew's problem. I don't want to be here for that.
Surely though, things like Twitter, surely there's going to come a time in the hopefully near future where nobody's taking it seriously anymore. Right. I mean, because why is something that shows up on Twitter even news? Surely that at some point people are going to get tired of paying attention to it or thinking that it means anything, and people will no longer be reporting what's on Twitter anymore. Won't that happen?
Let me put this to you. Give me an example of a source of information from anywhere in history that people eventually decided to stop paying attention to.
What do you mean? I mean, there's lots of media sources that have come and gone defunct.
Yes, but I'm talking about, this is the thing. It's not about Twitter. It's social media.
Well, I'm talking social about media Twitter is specifically.
Well, I mean, yes, eventually Twitter will go down, but Twitter will have come up and been huge since then. I mean, yes, individual things. I mean, fucking MySpace is gone. It doesn't mean that we don't have things that are exactly like MySpace that are ruling things. This is a method of communication. And yes, eventually Twitter will go away, but something just like Twitter will still be around.
Yes, but okay, so like newspapers, not even just newspapers, but like even the ones that are online.
Yes.
Those aren't as influential as they were.
No, but they still are, and with certain percentages of the population, they are as influential as they were. And this is the problem. We can go back as far as reading fucking entrails and searching for omens in the sky. Those are not nearly as popular as they were, but guess what? There are still people who still do that. So if you're asking when social media will cease to be as influential, it'll be when the thing that replaces it shows up.
What do you
people
think
aren't going to backtrack to newspapers? People don't go backwards. They aren't going to suddenly switch to radio addresses.
Well,
that's not how it works.
They could switch to podcasts, which that's just radio. Digital
well,
radio,
and, podcasts have a huge influence right now. I don't think anybody's switching. Most people are doing podcasts and Twitter.
Just think, you know, I just think people, you know, a lot of other things, though, their influence, the influence of a of an emerging technology is predicated on a lot of different things. And sometimes, sometimes those things are kind of faddish, you know, that's like, it's just, it's fashion. So therefore it's some of it's, some of its decline can just be, it's not in fashion anymore. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And what I'm saying though, is that has a certain time frame and we have far surpassed that in terms of the world of social media. Absolutely.
That's sad to know.
The internet is not just a fad anymore, and social media internet. Is not just a fad. I mean, people who swore they would never go on any of those kind of things, including me, are on them now. It's been around too long, and its impact is too great.
It's not going to go away. I'm not talking about people. I'm not talking about people not using it. I'm talking about it no longer being headline news that so-and-so posted this on Twitter.
Yes. I mean, and what I'm saying is still use that, that will go away when something else replaces it. I am 100% confident it will not just stop being interesting and will go back to earlier ways that we verified things. That I do not think that will happen because I do not think that has ever happened in the history of humanity.
But it,
I'm wait. If you give me an example, I'm there.
Well, I think there are probably lots of examples. I'm just not thinking of anything off the top of my head because what I'm talking about is something very specific. I'm not talking about the decline of social media as a whole or anything like that. I'm talking about specifically people thinking that someone tweeting something is news, specifically that. I mean, general headline news. Someone's going to think it's news, obviously. Someone's going to think it's a big deal. But why? It's not necessarily going to be the thing that CNN is reporting the first thing in their primetime spot.
But so you're specifically talking about tweets. So you're not talking about all the times where people post something on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, and that is considered news.
No, I'm not talking about tweets. I'm talking about a mainstream media outlet deciding that let's say anything in social media is news.
Yes. And what I'm saying is when something replaces it, something
as news.
Yes. When some new form of mass communication or reporting comes out that people decide is more reliable than social media.
But the thing is, it used to be news was things that, like, the news is news now. Like, a lot of times you watch the news.
No, it's not.
It's what the news is reporting. This news outlet did this. This news outlet did that. This social media thing. And there are things going on in the world that's not a media outlet doing something that's not being reported. There's bills being passed in Congress. There's things that are happening. But instead, we get a lot of news about some news outlet or some media outlet doing this, that, or the other thing. I mean, is that?
I don't think that's new. I think there have always been laws that are being passed that hardly anybody read in the newspapers, but they were really fascinated with what the local celebrity, whoever, was doing.
I know, but it wasn't like now.
You keep talking like I don't understand your question. If that's really what you're saying, then keep explaining it. But I feel like I do. And my answer is, I don't believe it's ever going to go away. It will eventually be replaced by the next way. It is currently, people read the newspapers and that's how they got their truth. And then the radio came out and the newspapers went into a little bit of decline because you would just listen to the radio. And then we had TV. Hell, if you go back far enough, we had books. Now, the biggest way to express your thing is not to be on the news. It is to be on Instagram. That will get you to more people and it will spread the knowledge more robustly than being on your 6 o'clock news or being on CNN or any of that. When something comes around that is bigger than that, then social media will decline and people will be like, oh, it doesn't matter what they say on social media. What matters is what they say on the Unimind. And it won't go backwards. Mm. It won't be like, oh no, now we're going to believe what they say on TV instead. Like that's never, I don't believe that's ever going to happen. Because again, I don't believe that has ever happened with anything that lasted as long as social media already has.
We are talking about two different things, but I can't seem to articulate. And I don't even disagree with what you're talking about, but I'm failing to articulate what I'm really trying to say. So,
all right. Well, you think on it. Don't do any homework. Think on it and put a nice, good job of explaining it on the blog.
I probably won't do that.
And then we will all debate it there. And you should all come to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, to talk about it on the blog, what William has to say.
No, let's not talk about that.
Well, I'm very disappointed because it sounds like I very drastically have no idea what you're asking.
No.
I'm very sad that I'm never going to find out what you really meant.
I don't think it really matters. I mean, I appreciate your concern.
I'm unsurprised that you don't think it really matters. That changes my feelings on the subject. Not at all.
I apologize. I'm not trying
the stuff you don't think really matters, especially when it pertains to you. I will never say this again because I don't like you getting a big ego, but I find you far more interesting than you find you, which should be unsurprising.
You think I'm in danger of getting a big ego?
Yeah, that's why I keep you down so much. It's not because I'm a jackass. It's because I'm worried you're just going to become such an arrogant bastard. You're like one compliment away. I really like that hat you're wearing, and I have never mentioned it because I was worried you'd just be like, oh my God, I'm the shit. I never realized. Y'all have to start calling me daddy, all of you, all the time. William Daddy Wright. Because apparently I got it all. I am the whole package. Willie Wright. Yep. Did I tell you about I was going to make a short story collection that was all about alternate dimension Williams?
You did tell me that.
I think, yeah. I mentioned, I still want to do this. I still like this idea. But it's tricky because I have to get at like what the heart of a William is.
Mm.
And then that has to be maintained throughout the multiverse.
I see.
I need to do something. Essentially, the story becomes, it's like Marvel's What If. Like, you can change all the components, but at its heart, a William is still a William. And that... that is the one constant of the universe.
I shudder to think what you think that is.
I'm just all about putting you in different scenarios right now. So that's the problem. Is I'm way too focused on that aspect. And that's just window dressing. Like, I'm not even bothering with the entire premise. I'm just like,
oh,
what if William like ran a makeup company for no reason? Like, what if William invented a new kind of burger, but that like used like two cows per sandwich, but he didn't care because it tasted so good, like that kind of shit. And I'm like, yeah, you need the hook there, and I don't have it. So I'm really big on you owning a car dealership in the Tri-County area somewhere in Texas. See, and that's what started all, because I was behind a car that had been purchased from Wright Motors. Spelled like your name, which is the best name to have when you own a dealership. Because as it said on the bottom, Wright Motors, the right cars, the right price.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I was like, why is everybody with this last name not owning a car dealership? And then that did me into this whole thing.
So Wright Motors, I think I've seen that. I don't know where that is.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in the Tri-County area. But it was just here, and it was just a few blocks from here that I saw it. But
in Carlisle, Iowa, there was a Wright Chevrolet, and we used to see their ads on. Carlisle's not very far from where I grew up, so we used to see their
ads all the time. Maybe this will get us good attention. I don't know. So we've talked before about how angry I get about companies doing commercials that are like, look how much we give to charity.
Mm.
I hate that. Right now, Dodge Ram has a series of commercials in which they say pretty straightforward that the company has dedicated its life to serving others. And I am so mad, I am going to personally go and blow up every Dodge plant in the whole world if you don't stop these commercials.
Hmm.
Maybe, see, this could get us some attention.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
I'll have to do these episodes from jail. But, I mean, for disclaimer purposes, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm making shit up. But, you know, if you want to be outraged and get us some press that way, that's fine. I'm just so mad every time. They're like, when you dedicate your life to serving others, you not only get recognized, you get this fucking award we got. And I'm like, your car company has not dedicated its life to serving others. I don't know how else to say that, because I don't think any brain could think otherwise. I confidently think no person involved in the creation of this commercial believes that for a moment. I think you all are actively lying in the most evil way. I think you purposely are like you were like burning puppies in your fireplace when you came up. Like, this is the most, that to me, that is the most evil thing you can say, is that Dodge Ram as a company has dedicated its life to serving others. Like, that to me is spitting in the face of God right there. I'm like, no, that is the most untrue thing I've heard in my life. Snow might be red or black or a different color than white, more likely. Up might be down compared to the idea that Dodge Ram has dedicated its life to serving others. William is the most arrogant, ego-driven narcissist I've ever encountered compared to the idea that Dodge Ram has dedicated his life to serving others. That's what I'm going to say. Sorry, it came to me. I'm angry. As usual, we are now like an hour and a half episode. We really got to stop that. We've been going long. Nobody likes us when we're like this, I assume. But we just have a lot to say. I mean, none of it's really valuable, but we have a lot to say. So I didn't really come up with a good, other than William Daddy Wright. I don't know that there's a good name for this thing. So.
No.
I know, right? It feels weird. I feel like people would show up at your house with some questions if I put that. So I probably should.
Probably. I'm sure you'll think of something.
Maybe I'll just call it Daddy, and then people will be like, what? And then they'll read it, and they're like, oh. And I mean, listen, like, oh, yeah, okay.
Sure. Whatever.
All right. Go away, people. Go to the blog. Talk things there. If you think you knew what William was saying, go to the blog and tell us. Maybe he'll find out. And listen again next week, and have a, you know, keep cheerful and happy during these times. I do believe things will change, Azure Talon, because they always do. But it will not return to normal, because that's made up. And let's all work to stop William's unchecked ego.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.